As I perfect walking, I reveal my ability to fly. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. This morning, as Rex and I were walking along our 3-mile path around the mountains here, we were having a great time. It rained last night very wonderfully and made everything beautiful and brightened up our roads a little bit again. but also, everything was so fresh and so lovely. And I saw Rex, and he lifted up his head, and he was looking at the sky. And I thought, what's he looking at the sky about? And there was a beautiful, big bird. It looked like it probably was a hawk or a seagull, more like a hawk, flying overhead, but just slowly flying. And Rex was looking up there thinking, golly, if I could just fly. And so he jumped up a little bit, you know, thinking he could fly. And he didn't quite make it, because that bird was a little higher. And I said, Rex, you want to learn how to fly? He said, yeah. I said, all right, let's work on that. So Rex and I are going to work on his ability to fly. Now, you watch. Sylvia is kind of hooked on that, too. She wants to get Never Never Land and learn how to fly as we have Never Never Land here, the movie. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it is?
Finding Neverland.
Finding Neverland, yeah. And so Peter Pan and the gang, right? Or who's doing it?
It's the story of the one who has written Peter Pan.
Oh, the person who wrote Peter Pan. Yeah. Well, now, how about that? Right from the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. That'll be great. So when we learn about flying, we will find that it's the very simplest thing in the world. People felt they could never walk on a bed of fire, and they've learned to do that. And how did they learn to do it? By calling it cool, wet moss. Now, when will people walk on water? When they call it the pavement, you know, or they call it the roadway, or they call it the platform. You've read about it in Illusions with Richard Bach, and they dove off of the lake into the ground and swam in the ground, and Richard got all muddy, but Donald Simoda, his reluctant messiah, he came out fresh and perfect, you know. And when they dove into the lake, of course, they got wet, and when they came out, it was okay. And then when they stood in the lake and dove into the land, because he said, why not? Now, how do we learn how to fly? My inner light shines through the magic of my being. As I perfect walking, I reveal my ability to fly. Now, how do you perfect walking? Well, you've read about lots of people who walk around the world. And what's the thing that they talk about the most? Well, other people talk about how many pairs of shoes they wore out, you know. And they don't talk about that. Other people talk about where they got their food. They don't talk about that. Other people talk about where did they get a place to sleep at night, alongside the road or wherever. They don't talk about that. Other people talk about how boring it would be walking mile after mile after mile just with your own thoughts. They don't talk about that. What do they do? Are they tired? Are they unhappy with their choice to walk around the world? They are a living adventure in the now. Every step they take is a step into the delight of the now, of thinking that they are divine, that they are wonderful. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And you just feel, you know, puffed up as though you could float away like a puffer ball, you know. And it's wonderful. Now, I'm telling you, as I perfect walking, as you walk, wherever you walk, just say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You can say it to yourself or out loud. If you're out in a private area, you can, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Oh, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. When I do it, you know, and Rex is walking near me, Rex looked up at me and said, yeah, yep, that's true. Mm-hmm, yep, that's true. You know, he's a real good supporter. And so Rex is just great. And when I have Rex walking along with me without the leash on, and he just watches me, and he's watching my hand for a cookie too, but mm-hmm. he's watching me because he says, "Hey, Dad, you're learning how to fly, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I'm teaching you how to fly. We're going for a walk in which you are learning how to fly. Because if I can get this feeling into your heart and soul, which you've already got pretty well, but if I can sort of loosen the bonds of earth and have you fly into the heavens, which you can do. You know, all of you can do it." You say, "Oh, Herb, that sounds so much fun. It does not sound fun. If it sounded fun, you'd do it. But you don't do it. And you don't do it because you have other priorities. What are your priorities? Are your priorities going to town and get the groceries and get Dorothea? Are your priorities running to the bank and backing a check that you think you might have overwritten? Is your priority being your divine self?" Woo-wee. "Oh, sure, yeah, I can hear you saying, yeah." If your priority is being your divine self, and I ever say to you, hey, cool it. That's not your divine self. When you feel unhappy with yourself, that's not your divine self. When you feel there are limitations of the world, that's not your divine self. When you compare yourself or something to somebody else, that's not your divine self. When you want to change somebody else's life, that's not your divine self. If you want something because of your personal motivation, that's not your divine self. Rhonda Joyce, you'll be reading about her in the months to come. You read a lot about her. She has written a very interesting and fabulous dissertation. And in this dissertation, she repeats cause and effect, the law of cause and effect. She keeps repeating this. For whatever thought you put in motion, that is the result that you get. For whatever ideas you have, that is the result that you're going to get. For whatever dreams you have, that's the result you're going to get. She said, again and again and again, she's just like a sledgehammer pounding these things in beautifully. But Rhonda doesn't dare come to me with any problems. Because what'll I do? Read your dissertation, you know? And when we begin to read our dissertation, the things that we say, Sylvia, she's always writing beautiful letters for the practitioners, and she's always talking counseling on the phone with practitioners, with people who want a practitioner. And she's telling them, "Be cool, be calm, be wonderful." And then she has a problem in her own life, and she says, "What should I do?" Follow your own advice. And Ingeborg says, "Everything in the world is good. Everything in the world is beautiful. Everybody in the world is just absolutely fantastic, glorious, magnificent." And then somebody has feet of clay, and Ingeborg hears about it, and she says, "Well, of course they got feet of clay because they are doing these stupid things, and they're dumb, and they shouldn't do that." Don't do that. Don't ever let other people's feet of clay be your limitation. Because if it's your limitation, it'll kill you. Because you know better. You see, the difficulty in our teaching, or any teaching really, is that if you live that teaching, if you're a good Catholic, you'd be fantastic. You'd have a life that was just the most glorious thing you could ever want. If you were a good Seventh-day Adventist, or Jehovah's Witness, or Christian Scientist, or Religious Scientist, or Science of Mind, or God Unlimited, if you're whatever you did, if you followed it with all of your heart, then as I perfect walking, I reveal my ability to fly. As I perfect my ability to follow the teaching that turns me on, maybe it's a teaching nobody's written, maybe it's just the book inside of me, which is great too. You follow the book right inside of your heart, and then you are preparing yourself to fly. Now, what does the word fly mean? The word fly means to be unfettered, to be free. The word fly means to be wherever you want to be and do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it, you know. You think your thought, and you're in Singapore visiting with the Vatican. You think your thought, and you're in the Philippines visiting with Alma. and you think your
Angie.
Thought, and Angie, you think your thought, and you're in New Zealand with who? Katerina and Anita and Heinz and
John.
And Cynthia and John. Yeah. And who else? Heather, is she still there too?
Yeah.
And all these other people, all these wonderful people that we have, and John's mother.
And the Carters,
yeah, Peg and her kids. And my goodness, you know, when you get to thinking about it, look at New Zealand. One little tiny, tiny island there with all these people on it. All of our students, they're all emigrating to New Zealand, having a ball. And how'd they get there? They flew. They happen to use another means of transportation, like some people go to the doctor and have an operation, so they use the doctor for their healing, and some people use airplanes for their flying, you know. And we want to get ourselves to the point where, now, how many of you were with me in New Zealand a moment ago?
Hi, boss.
Yeah. You have you ever been to New Zealand? Then how do you know what it was like? Because you were there. You were there. Now, what was New Zealand like? Just like any other place. Really. It's just like any other city. It has houses and tall buildings and short buildings. And it has people. People yet, you know. And the people talk English, sort of, you know. A British type of English, but, you know. And, of course, you're not in Australia with the Cockneys, you know.
Aborigines.
No, there's a word... the Aussies. Yeah, Cockneys here in England, in London, and so forth. But you see, and the Huns, where are they?
In
Deutschland, in Germany, you know. And the Wops, where are they? They're in Italy.
The what?
Wops.
Wops.
It means something Italian. It's just like Hun means...
Without papers.
Huh?
It means without papers.
Without people?
Papers.
Without papers? Wop?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yep.
Wow, thank you. That's a bit of information that I certainly won't have much use for. But thank you very much. Our international travelers who come through our property here from Mexico are also WAPs. that's an interesting name for that. You're a WAP, you know, without papers. Where'd you hear that?
I don't know.
That's great, but you see all the wisdom you got in you. I mean, you haven't even begun to let it fly out. So, you see, I perfect walking, and as I do that, I reveal my ability to fly. And as we perfect our ability to observe, to participate, to move in any circle, we find that we can do all sorts of things. Now, I gave you some illustrations over the past weeks about Ellen being surprised that she was there when she had just left someplace else. And why doesn't she do it all the time? Well, she does it a lot more than she thinks. She does it a lot more than she thinks. And you do too. And you are each flying a lot more than you think you're flying. But you're not even letting yourself do it. So, hey, let's have some fun with this game, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. Now, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. When you do that, you put your body in harmony with the eternal. Last night, Rhonda and Anthony, who are here from Las Vegas, were amused by our wine glasses. They took their fingers and they ran it around the rim of these wine glasses, and the wine glasses sang beautifully in all sorts of notes, depending upon how much fluid they had in the glass. And Rhonda says, "Oh! This is such fun. And Anthony says, "Come on, Mom. This is just one of these little games we learn. You know, as kids we learn them. And then you never were a kid. You know, you were always adult all your life." And so then Ellen tried it. Sylvia tried it. Ingeborg tried it. But Ingeborg only gave it a half-baked try, you know, because she tried it with her coffee cup. And it didn't quite make the sound. But you see, when we learn to walk, we perfect our walking. As we make each step a joyous, glorious step, we can walk around the world. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. The first step. So let's take that first step today into our ability to fly. And flying doesn't mean with an airplane. It doesn't mean with our bodies. It can. But it means being there.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal perfect speed. And let's put that in motion. Now, I would like to have a report from all you here in the room and all of you who are listening to this on the internet that you have made your first adventure into flying after you made your first step. No drugs, no alcohol, no airplanes, just doing it with your thought. And tell me that you have flown. And I expect to get hundreds and thousands of letters in. This is the University of Healing, 1101 Far Valley Road, FAR Valley Road, Campo, California, 91906. Just, or email to unihealing, UNIHEALING, at goduni, GODUNI dot org. And let us know what your adventure into flying, where you first went and what you did. Because I think that would be just fascinating, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting. And for now, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.